Hello, welcome to this First Thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Ronizone Media and Ronizone.com. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. And now, on with the show.
Hey, everybody. Well, it's a little later tonight, but we've had a full day.
We have.
And so we've just watched Dreamy.
Who are we?
My name is Jeff Roney.
Yeah.
And you are?
Colleen Roney.
And you're not knitting.
No,
so
I'm not.
So that's kind of different.
No, I wanted to concentrate tonight a little more. Okay. Not to say that I'm not concentrating, but I have something I have to do with my knitting, and that would require me to concentrate on that, and I can't do that and do podcasting, so.
Okay. So Dreamy
tonight.
I'm focusing
for the listeners.
Yep.
Yes.
The first thing I noticed was...
Are we going to talk at all about the fact that we saw this at PaleyFest?
Well, okay. I thought we mentioned it before, but yeah.
We did, but...
It was nice to see it on the big screen.
It was amazing to sit there and watch it, knowing that the cast was behind the stage. Mm-hmm. That was pretty awesome.
And the rest of the auditorium was filled with oncers as well. So that was kind of, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It was amazing. It was really amazing. So I just wanted to bring that up because I thought that was kind of cool and that makes this a little different. So we've had a chance to see this now twice.
Right. The crowd was actually, it was a little more reverent than I would have thought. There wasn't a lot of cheering. There was a lot of cheering Grumpy did his got his moment.
Yeah, he had a few moments, but yeah.
So yeah, but it was funny because I would think
people
it would just be really just crazy and cheering and all this, but it was really they were just focused on it and just I think they were kind of amazed like they were getting something special like nobody it was.
But here's the thing: I didn't think we were going to see the whole entire episode. Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to get like a special, the first 10-15 minutes of it.
Well, no, they said.
Well, I know, but I didn't realize it at the beginning when they said it. Just I don't know. Maybe I was zoning out. I was so excited I couldn't stand it. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. So, the fairies are like the Girl Scouts. And
like the Girl Scouts?
There are certain things that they have to do to advance, I think.
Hmm.
Because, you know, I mean, I've never really thought about how does a fairy godmother become a fairy godmother. But in the discussions that the Blue Fairy was having with
Nova,
I want to be the fairy godmother one day. And I was like, okay. And that's another thing. If Nova, that's her name, how did the Blue Fairy, apart from her color,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
How did she what?
What did you call
her?
She wasn't called anything.
No, but she. But Nova didn't refer to her as the Blue Fairy.
Right.
So.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Nova could have been called the Pink Fairy. I don't know. So.
They gave her a name, which I thought was cool.
Yeah.
But I see now you see the Girl Scouts. I actually see angels. Kind of like from It's a Wonderful Life.
All right.
You know, he had to do something good, and then he got his wings.
Well, and I would imagine that...
Similar thing.
I would imagine that what the Blue Fairy did for Jiminy Cricket, or Jiminy, would have really kind of advanced her. So, you know, and I think we've talked about this before, that wishes that fairies grant have no ties or no strings. And so it's almost like they're kind of giving, it's in a way like a genie giving away these wishes to advance, you know, maybe up this ladder.
They're good deeds.
Yeah. Also, the fairy dust is made from
diamonds,
precious jewels found in the mines.
Yes.
And it was interesting that the fairy dust said powers the world.
Yeah. She said that that was the most powerful substance.
Right. And so also there was kind of a correlation between a stipend of money and a portion of the fairy dust. And it was very important that you kind of keep up with it and you don't waste it.
Right.
Fairy dust and money, because money makes the world go round, right? So we saw purple or pinkish smoke.
Well, that was the fairy dust.
Right.
Coming from her, because she's the pink fairy. If it had come from the blue fairy, I wonder if it would have been blue.
Well, in my calculations, blue smoke is genie smoke.
Well, that's smoke, but that's not fairy dust. They're very different.
Okay. So we saw the pink kind of dust or smoke or something.
It was not smoke.
Going down
to
the
fairy dust that was infused by her personality.
Okay.
That's
so,
what I saw.
So then the fairy dust that she used at the end to make the
magnifying glass?
Mono glass to see the boat. Glass? So.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was kind of thinking about that, dust. And that was kind of a reverse sending with the smoke color. It's almost like, okay.
I'm telling you, I never saw smoke at all.
Okay.
It was fairy dust, which is very different than smoke.
So then there's bad fairy dust that kills trolls.
Right.
And there's good fairy dust that makes spy glasses appear and maybe helps the dwarves grow in eggs.
Well, I don't think it was... Okay, so here's my take on this. The fairy dust, which was from Nova's bag, because it was her bag.
Right.
And therefore it was infused with her fairiness, right?
Okay.
So that dust spilled out when she tripped out as she flew off the cloud. That dust went down and landed on Grumpy Dreamy's egg.
Okay.
And gave him an awakening that the other dwarves never had. It didn't help him grow. I don't think it helped him grow because remember, he was different than the other ones.
Okay. So,
and I think it's because of her, the fact that he was a dreamy was because of the fact that she was a dreamer.
Okay. But all right. So let's back up. Now we saw them crunch up jewels from the mine that became fairy dust.
Yes.
So my question is that fairy dust or do the fairies have to kind of...
Well, I think it's
fairyize it or something, and then it becomes fairy dust. I just wondered.
I think it's part of the bag.
Okay.
Because the bag was the key.
Okay. So then the second thing is just the whole egg thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. So, you know, we were told that there's no female dwarves, and dwarves can't fall in love.
Have you ever seen one?
They can't have children.
Right.
So...
They're not people.
Right.
They're dwarfs.
Right. So the egg thing was kind of interesting and different. Time you hear about it is, you know, maybe Humpty Dumpty or something.
Well, yeah. So. But it kind of is a funny little way, and they talked about this a little bit at Paley, that there are no female dwarfs, so how else is a dwarf born? An egg. I mean, think about it.
So Dreamy was a preemie.
He was.
And was hatched before the rest of the other in the group, I guess.
So he's technically the oldest.
Okay, right.
He's the oldest of his brothers.
Right.
They had eggs that were scheduled to hatch at sundown, and he hatched a bit early. So, yes, he is technically a preemie.
I saw.
And he was different than everybody. And it was really cute. It was kind of funny, though, I have to say, that what struck me is I'm going, he's just born and he's already fully clothed.
Yeah, true.
I don't know how they're going to explain that one, but I thought that was very funny.
Well, okay, let's throw a couple of aces on the table. Lee Ehrenberg is so good.
Oh,
in this episode,
he's fantastic.
What I was really obviously, you know, we've seen a lot of grumpiness from Grumpy, but in watching some of the interviews Lee's done for like Pirates of the Caribbean, mm-hmm. he's a smooth operator. And then it's funny in this episode, the more you watch it,
oh, yeah.
you will see him put his smooth on, you know, when he's talking to Astrid.
Yes.
And it's just very, he's a smooth operator.
He was so. Adorable in this yeah. episode.
Yeah.
I loved him in this episode. I thought it was fantastic.
I saw eggs in like corrals or pens. Was I wrong in that?
Well, I think it's like the hatchery itself. They were kind of all in their little, the eggs are sitting on boxes.
Maybe a
and stuff.
Farm or something?
Kind of like,
I don't know.
A little bit. Like well, think about
corn
it.
Corn
I mean,
or something
okay.
in a row.
Well, I don't know if it was, it seemed like they were kind of like randomly okay. placed in there. But there were catwalks above so that they, you know, they could right. walk above and see what was going on. But what it does kind of remind me a little bit of is the Cabbage Patch, the old
right,
you know
right.
theory that's where babies come from.
Yeah.
I did like, and I thought it was very funny when he said, oh, you know, you're the woman I saw in my dream when I was hatched a year ago. And she's like, you're one. He goes, yeah, I'm younger than I look.
Mm-hmm.
Or I look younger than I am or something like that. It was very cute. It was very funny the way he said that.
And another thing, too, is that kind of really falls into the whole Storybrooke not aging thing is that
yeah.
whole idea that someone could be born or hatched right looking larger than a baby but actually it's young so
right.
Actually it reminds me of Mork and Mindy
oh yeah
when
yeah,
they brought Jonathan Winters into the show
yeah
and he was born young but looking old and then I think he went backwards or something
yeah.
like that.
Well,
anyway,
it was just, and yeah. Third Rock from the Sun also borrowed that same okay. premise for their yeah. show too. So in essence, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character was a lot older than everyone else's character, but because he was the teenager, you know, they reverse age. It's kind of like Benjamin Button. So
yep.
anyway,
so Mary Margaret is doing charity work for
yes.
approval.
Yeah.
I thought that was
mm-hmm.
interesting.
Well, I think because on some level she doesn't like being, I think she wants everyone to like her. I don't think she knows how to handle not being liked. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She cares so much about the town and the people that she just doesn't want to be hated.
Emma says something about, well, you need to win hearts back. Or maybe Mary Margaret does. Somebody says, well, you're winning hearts back. So I thought that was kind of an interesting phrase.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with all the Graham and hearts and all that.
Regine and her heart vault, yeah.
Yep. So, you know, a couple of times it was said, you know, you can do anything you want if you dream it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I've always heard is dreams aren't just something that you kind of sit down and think about. You know, dreams are goals with action. But it's something that's in you make a decision, and it is something that you know, some people picture, some people write it down, some people just think it. But
right.
it's also action too. And so that's what, you know, we see, because, you know, we talk about we have dreams and, mm-hmm. and all this, but I think if you don't put any steps to the dreams, it's not going to work. And so, you know, we could see that there's dreams, but then there's steps to it. And then sometimes there's actually steps away from it. And you
yes.
change. So I saw a Polaroid camera and
yes.
I had one, the old, shake it like a Polaroid picture camera.
yes.
And the dwarf boot camp was kind of funny.
Okay. Yes, it was. It was very fun. And boot camp, it was, you mean it was the prepping of getting them ready?
Right.
Yeah. I loved the, whoever's little behind it was shaking in the towel. Yeah. That was very cute. Okay. So, but I wanted to, while you were talking about the dream stuff, I wanted to kind of, I wanted to talk about, what popped into my head was that if you can dream it, you can do it.
Right.
That's actually Walt Disney said, if you can dream it, you can do it. Okay. So I think that may have been an homage to him, that whole premise. Anyway.
Cool. So the dwarves are like Jedi Knight people because they basically have to give themselves over to this vocation.
Oh, yeah.
Of being a dwarf.
Well, here's the other thing, too, actually, if you think about it. That's the same thing with nuns. So in a sense, the fact that Grumpy or Dreamy was a dwarf and was not supposed to love, marry, and have children,
right?
Not supposed to fall in love, get married, and have kids. That's so
religious vocation.
Very
or
much
a
so.
Dwarf.
It was in the order of the dwarves, so
or
to speak.
A Jedi. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is, and then what jumped out at me just now is the fact that. In real world, he's complete opposite of that, but he meets and kind of falls for a nun who is basically in the same position he was in. So in the fairy tale world, he is committed to his job.
Right.
And the fairy, while she's committed to her, she has a bit more freedom and she's been all over the place. She's seen things. She's done things.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you flip over to the real world and now the nun is committed to her job. And he's the one who's been free to do whatever he wants. So it's kind of that whole, like we've been saying, whatever they are in fairy tale world, they're going to be probably pretty much the opposite in real world.
Yep. So the axe
yes.
was very much like a Jedi's lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
In Star Wars, they basically made their own. So they created the outer part of it, but then they had to go to this special one of the EU novels. They went to special planet Kobar, I think, and they found this crystal and they put it in there, and so it was theirs. And so I think the shade, or at least there was something about that crystal that was them. And so, anyway.
And then the other one was also reminds me a little bit of the wand in Harry Potter,
right.
Where the wand chose.
Yeah,
the wizard. So, yep.
And so when the axe was held by the dwarf, the name would come up. And so, you know, in effect, it's, you know, a bit like a kind of a, you know, prophetic thing or something, maybe, that I am this. And this is my identity. Not only do I have this axe, but it also gives me my personality, you know, happy, whatever.
Right, so. Exactly. And also, if you kind of tie that into the knife that wields the, or that controls the Dark One.
Right.
Where the name, the true name is written on the knife, and it changes depending on who the true, you know, the Dark One is.
That's right. So I wonder, now, I don't want to beat this old dog to death here, but they did keep the nun storyline.
Yes, they did.
Even though Jennifer Goodwin said, well, I think they may have left it. They did keep it.
Yes.
And for some reason, the nuns and Mr. Gold don't get along.
Yeah.
I think that it is part of... I don't think they're going to go completely down the road. I think people kind of understand when you say nuns, convent, what all that represents. And when someone says, I will kick them out if they miss 1 month's mortgage, that just makes Mr. Gold badder than he was.
Yeah, it does.
So, I mean, that's...
And I love the fact that Leroy looks at him and goes, you don't like nuns?
Yeah.
Who doesn't like nuns?
Right.
That was funny.
So, the background in Astrid's classroom...
That was the volunteer center.
The volunteer center... had zodiac symbols and stars and the solar system and all that. So
very celestial.
Where in Mary Margaret's class, it was more of the earth and the levels of the earth and prehistoric times and all that. So
which again, that actually fits with their personalities from the fairy tale, because again, a fairy is spending a lot of time in the clouds and the celestial in the heavens, and Mary Margaret or Snow White was down in the earth and stuff.
Well, yeah, but it was more
in the forest,
past and
that right. That's what I'm saying.
The it kind of reminded me a bit of the Attack of the Clones conveyor belt scene when the bag went up there and.
Yeah.
And, you know, Grumpy was a hero a couple of times.
Yeah.
Tonight, so it was kind of nice
so
that
Leroy.
You know even a grumpy person.
Yeah.
Or dwarf can be a hero. You know. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's because he felt like he fell in love with her.
Yeah. We saw a number of dwarfs in Storybrooke tonight. I'm pretty certain that that was Jeffrey Kaiser at the ring toss.
I'm
pretty certain.
Betting absolute 100% dollars it is. It was him. It was him. We've met him. We know him.
Yeah.
So it definitely was him.
So
in the purple knitted hat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lots of knitted hats. There were knitted hats when the dwarves were sleeping.
Yep.
In their little hammocks and stuff.
They also had knitted collars and cuffs, too, on their gowns, which I loved.
Some of the... It was funny. Some of the...
Might have been crocheted, but bottom line is, yeah.
Some of the things they were sleeping in, the little hammocks, it reminded me a little bit of... This is a stretch, but Gilligan's Island. It was kind of funny. You know, it's just... You're just kind of hanging there, and I don't know. It was like a boat. You know, maybe... Yeah,
a little bit.
It was just kind of interesting, so... there's a gentleman eating a carrot, and you mentioned well, maybe that's the white rabbit.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of who else would be eating a carrot. Typically, it's rabbits. Rabbits eat carrots. What rabbit do you know in fairy tales? Alice in Wonderland. And I don't know who the wife was. She had kind of reddish hair, so we'll see.
Maybe the cat or something. I don't know.
Maybe, maybe she could be the Queen of Hearts. You never know.
Well, other folks have mentioned maybe that was the nurse down in the Bell area there. In the
she didn't look
sanitarium.
Like the same girl. It didn't look like
no,
the
no,
same
no.
Person.
But what I'm saying is the nurse down there that's keeping Bell there could be the Queen of Hearts because the hair.
Oh,
and
I see
all
what
that.
You're saying. So. Yeah, that's possible too. I mean, that's I'm not saying I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility.
Plan, the word plan is used here and there. Grumpy used the plan, and August used the plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It was interesting that, you know, and there's a lot of ways we can go with this, but let's just say this, is that the, when Dreamy and Nova were talking, Dreamy said, well, you've seen a lot of the world. And she said, well, I've flown above it. I have seen a lot of the world. And he said, well, I've seen under the world. But they've not been in the world and experienced what's going on. And so that was a discussion about the boat and all that.
Yeah.
So the boat I thought was interesting. I mean, I flashed completely to Lost in that, you know, boat is another way to get away and escape.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was the one way for him to get away from
the hellhole. That's what he called it.
Hole.
The hellhole. Yeah.
And then he apologized, which I thought was funny.
So,
he had some very funny lines in this thing tonight.
No, you know,
he surprised me with some of the stuff he said, actually.
I'm very. Kind of the way they had a grumpy episode. I'm very interested to see the rest of them, and I hope all the dwarves have their own episode because I'm really interested to see what their story is. You know,
yeah,
so
it'd be
Mr.
very
Clark or you know what all the different. So we saw a couple of good shots of Meg tonight. That was really cool.
Yeah. We did.
And, you know, Sneezy, of course. And
Gabe, yes.
Gabe, yeah. And Faustino. We saw him in the diner.
Yeah.
And
his other name is Walt.
Yeah, Walt.
Which is
and,
cute.
And it was really neat to kind of see things kind of interspersed. I was actually shocked to see Belle.
That was really cool. And then what that tells me is if you look at then where we are in the story with this, is that she has just left Rumpel's palace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After he kicked her out. So that's not that's when she's like truly in love with him. And he kicks her out and she's just totally sad about that. I felt bad for her.
I was shocked a little bit when Grumpy was leaving the Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And no one kind of gave him but you can't leave. You know, you're a part of us, that kind of a thing. But I guess that was Bossy's part.
Mm-hmm.
When he was leaving and he caught him outside.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing I'll say is that there are certain points where people become, for lack of a better term, the Jiminy Crickets for these people. You know, if you look back at Emma, you know, you have no soul. How did you get like this? Those types of things are Bossy saying, you know, you can't leave. You know, your brothers are back there. You're a dwarf. You know, you can't love. Da, 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 all these different kinds of things. So,
well, then the Blue Fairy coming in and telling him why.
Right.
And the cool thing is, the reason why he can't do it is because it would actually ruin Nova's life.
Well,
that's really what it came down to.
The interesting thing is we know, love is a powerful thing. And sometimes people put love with a certain person, like that's it. This is the end all be all of life. But what was interesting is they kind of turned that idea on its head and said, you know, actually, if you stay away from that person and you find your own life and you find your own path, you both will be much happier. But if you get together with that person, you're actually going to be miserable. And it's going to be,
It would destroy their lives.
Right.
And it would destroy the story as well.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
But again, and what I loved about it was the sacrifice he made, the toughest thing for him to, I mean, it broke my heart when he was telling her he couldn't go with her.
Right.
It was very sad because, you know, I felt bad for him.
Well, what did it remind you of?
Well, a lot of things, actually.
Snow White and Charming.
Well, yeah, definitely.
You know, so again, we see that type of thing.
But again, that's love. Belle, same thing. Yeah. Belle and Rumpel.
Yep. Right.
So, I mean, we're seeing these people making, these characters making sacrifices for the person they love. And it seems like such a terrible thing to do, but ultimately it is for the best.
The two lines that I think stuck out for me was when Grumpy said, what if I'm different?
Yeah.
I think we've all asked that question. You know, when mm-hmm. people say, this is life, get used to it. Okay, no, what if I'm not meant to do this? What if I'm different? Or the second question is, what if you're wrong?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think kids all over the planet forever, what if I'm different? What if I'm not supposed to go to college? What if I'm not supposed to do that? You know, what if you're wrong about this? So it was kind of interesting. And then the idea that if you do fall in love with her, you will lose your wings. And that really kind of
lose her wings.
Yeah. And it goes back to the whole Jedi idea is, you know, if you do get married, you know, and fall in love, because Jedi were supposed to be without any connections and they were to just, you know, without any love.
You know, no ties.
You care, but there's no ties. And so if you do marry her, you know, she will lose her wings. And so anyway, it was just the cause and effect and the if you choose that, that's going to be the consequence. So,
mm-hmm.
So we got that. The maps of all the kingdoms came up.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that was what Nova had. She said she had the maps of all the kingdoms. I would certainly like to have the map of all the kingdoms.
That'd be kind of myself. A cool thing to have, yeah.
Nova, if you can use your little
magic
fairy dust and
awesome.
Pop one over here. So are there 1,000 people in Storybrooke? I'm interested in that. They sold 1,000 candles. Look, man, I'm up for suspension of disbelief, but 1,000 candles?
Sure.
Did they bus people in from Boston?
No, but who says that they sold one to every person? Okay. How do you know some people didn't buy two or three?
Okay.
Could have. And by the way, Dopey did buy one candle at the end there.
Mm-hmm. So, can we talk about the promo at the end?
No.
The promo at the end of the episode?
The promo at the end. Yeah, but before we do, let's talk about, the whole selling of the candle thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Dude, that was fantastic because when we saw this, when I saw the episode and he climbed up on the ledge there, I didn't think he was going to jump because I'd seen in the previews before that he was going to smash into the power box.
That's the way it looked, though. Yeah. That's the way they set it up.
They set it up to look like that. Mm-hmm. I get that. And I thought, okay, well, maybe they, promoted something else. Anyway, or maybe that happened at a different point. But what was interesting was when Mary Margaret's like, don't jump, don't. And he's like, I'm not going to jump. She goes, you're not? And he goes, no. And then he goes, but you might want to duck. I thought what it was going to happen next was he was going to smash into the box, the power box. And then he was going to get everyone's attention and yell at them and say, stop behaving like this. Mm-hmm. Don't treat Mary Margaret like garbage. None of you are perfect. Blah, 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 blah. He was going to I thought he was going to give some big grandiose speech. And then when he goes, she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm selling candles, sister. I'm like, that is brilliant.
Yeah.
And that's the second time he came up with a great idea. When he said, pack it up. And she said, what, you're quitting? I thought he was quitting too. I'm like, oh, fine, whatever. And then he's like, no, let's go door to door. I'm like, that's brilliant. That does set him apart from everybody else.
That reminded me of other kind of religious things, going door to door.
Yes, well, there's that too.
The difficulty of that.
Actually, I really thought of Avon or
Avon.
Fuller Brush Man.
Yeah, encyclopedias.
Yeah, Amway, all that stuff.
So let's do talk about, I think the one point that I think really interested me the most was and you kind of focused in on that, is the Mary Margaret returning. And you had mentioned that it was a kind of a redemption step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when she blew out the candle, that was her candle. It was the last candle. It was her own candle. Because he cut the power pretty much to the whole town, it looked like. Because it wasn't just the lights there. The lights in the city hall and kind of surrounding areas all turned off too. So what I thought, and so when she went out to her car, she got in it. She was getting ready to go home. She wasn't going to stay for the festival. I mean, it was a big deal. She even said it was a big deal.
Right.
And she didn't feel comfortable to stay, because she knew she was, she said before, she was the town pariah. So when she went out to her car and she saw the word tramp on her car, I think she made the resolution to say, look, you know what? If I go home, they win.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I haven't done anything wrong. I'm not going. And I think that's what made her turn around and say, I'm going to prove everybody wrong. And then when she walked up and Granny lit her candle for her, I was like, go, Granny. Because then the bystanders behind that were watching her and kind of approving.
Right.
Because, here she comes to kind of save the day. She couldn't sell the candles door to door. But then when, the power goes out mysteriously, all of a sudden now she's, the hero. She becomes the hero herself.
Right.
So that's what happened. And then, of course, when Emma came in, grabbed David and took him out, they were all watching him. And I thought, and then of course, Mary Margaret sees him being led away and put in the police car, like he's guilty of something. And so you kind of have that, I saw on her face this kind of like, wait, did you have something to do with her disappearance? What happened? No, Mary Margaret doesn't even know. So she's wondering what's going on.
Right.
Right? She has no idea what's going on. And then you have, I think, the rest of the town people now casting that whole that they were feeling for Mary Margaret. Now it's on him.
Right. Yep.
And I think her heart broke a little because, she still loves David. No matter what happens, she still loves him. And I don't think she wanted him to be, she knows what it felt like to be the town pariah. And that's what that's just what I took out of that scene.
Well, what was interesting, too, is I think a lot of people... Well, some people would think once Catherine's out of the picture, they can be together.
Mm-mm.
But they didn't. So
no, because again, it but, would be
you know
too
what I'm saying?
Right. Oh, I totally get it. Yeah. It would be too easy for right. something like that to happen, and we all know it's not going to happen.
Cool.
So, yeah. No Henry this episode. That was kind of a
yeah.
a little surprising.
Yeah.
I would have thought Regina would have taken him to the festival. That's just me. There was another little thing I did notice. I didn't even mention this to you, but I noticed it in the volunteer center when Mary Margaret was sitting there at the table and he walked up and said, "How do I volunteer? I want to volunteer." Behind her, there were those cutouts of miners, but they were the dwarves. They mm-hmm. looked like the yep. dwarves with the faces cut out. And then there was like a little donkey in front or whatever. And it looked like that was, you know, where you could take a picture as you're the miner, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah. The last thing is in the promo for next week uh-huh. at the end of the episode.
Yes.
That well is the same well that has some water in it.
It is?
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep. I saw the top and I went, yeah, it's the same one.
Oh, interesting.
So, no tree, but that's the well for sure.
Oh, interesting.
At least that's my 2 cents.
So, well, we'll have to see, won't we?
Yeah.
Next week's episode is going to be phenomenal. We were lucky.
Megan-erific.
Yeah. We are not going to say a word about what we saw, but we saw the first 10 minutes of the episode, and it is going to be amazing.
Yep.
Just letting y'all in on that right now.
So we're kind of getting droopy, so we're going to stop it here. But thanks so much for listening to The First Thoughts, and we'll be talking at you more on Thursday. Please give the podcast a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
It's 657-333-0626.
Six. Yes.
I'm pretty sure that is. Otherwise, Wayne will be telling you at the beginning of this what it really is. So again, I just want to thank Mig for his kindness
yes.
to call in. And it was a Dwarfalicious episode for sure.
It really was.
And so, you know, as always, we're totally open to anyone calling in a voicemail. But especially the listeners, because you guys bring in such great information. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to hear. And emails as well. So, guys, have a great week. Wow. No break for a little while, I don't think. So it's going to be once upon a time for a while, weekly. So
yeah, which is great.
Yep. So take care, guys, and we'll talk at you in a couple of days. See you.